भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 14 एंटाइटल्ड आइडियल फैमिली लाइफ टेक्स्ट नंबर 39। दृष्ट्वा तेषां मिथो नृणां अवज्ञानात्मतां नृपा त्रितादिषु हरेरर्चा क्रियायैकविभिकृता। दृष्ट्वा तेषां मिथो नृणां अवज्ञानात्मतां नृपा त्रितादिषु हरेरर्चा क्रियायैकविभिकृता। Drishtva, after practically seeing, my dear king, when great sages and saintly persons saw mutually disrespectful dealings at the beginning of Treta Yuga, deity worship in the temple was introduced with all paraphernalia. Purport. It is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam 12.3.52, Krite Yadhyayato Vishnu Tretayam Yajato Makhai Dvapare Parichayayam Kalautad Hari Kirtanat. Whatever result one obtained in Satyuga by meditating on Vishnu, in Trita Yuga by performing sacrifices, and in Dvapara Yuga by serving the Lord's lotus feet, one can also obtain in Kali Yuga simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. In Satyuga, every person was spiritually advanced, and there was no envy between great personalities. Gradually, however, because of material contamination with the advance of the ages, disrespectful dealings appeared even among Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. Actually, an advanced Vaishnava is to be respected more than Vishnu. As stated in the Padma Purana, Arardhananam Sarvesham Vishnu Arardhanam Param. Of all kinds of worship, worship of Lord Vishnu is the best. Tasmat parataram devi tadiyanam samarchanam. And recommended more than worship of Vishnu is the worship of the Vaishnava. Formerly, all activities were performed in connection with Vishnu. But after Satyuga, there were symptoms of disrespectful dealings among Vaishnavas. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has said that a Vaishnava is he who has helped others to become Vaishnavas. An example of one who has converted many others into Vaishnavas is Narad Muni. A powerful Vaishnava who has converted others into Vaishnavas is to be worshipped, but because of material contamination, sometimes such an exalted Vaishnava is disrespected by other minor Vaishnavas. When great saintly persons saw this contamination, they introduced worship of the deity in the temple. This began in Treta Yuga and was especially prominent in Dvapara Yuga, Dvapare Parichayayam. But in Kali Yuga, worship of the deity is being neglected. Therefore, chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is more powerful than deity worship. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu set a practical example in that he did not establish any temples or deities, but he profusely introduced the Sankirtan movement. Therefore, Krishna consciousness preachers should give more stress to the Sankirtan movement, especially by distributing transcendental literature more and more. This helps the Sankirtan movement. Whenever there is a possibility to worship the deity, we may establish many centers. But generally, we should give more stress to the distribution of transcendental literatures, for this will be more effective in converting people to Krishna consciousness. This is in Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.47. Archayam eva haraye pujam yad shraddaye hate natad bhakteshu chanyeshu sabhaktaha prakrite smritaha. A person who is very faithfully engaged in the worship of the deity in the temple but does not know how to behave towards devotees or in people in general is called a prakrita bhakta. Or a Kanishta Adhikari. A Prakrita devotee or a neophyte devotee is still on the material platform. He certainly engages in worshipping the deity, but he cannot appreciate the activities of a pure devotee. It has actually been seen that even an authorized devotee who is engaged in the service of the Lord by preaching the mission of the Krishna consciousness is sometimes criticized by neophyte devotees. Such neophytes are described by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Sarva prani sammano sammana na samarthanam avagnya svardhadi matam tu bhagavat pratimaiva patram iti aha. For those who cannot properly appreciate the activities of authorized devotees, deity worship is the only way for spiritual advancement. In Chaitanya Charitamrita Antya Leela 7.11, it is clearly stated, Krishna Shakti Vina Nahi Tar Pravartana. Without being authorized by Krishna, one cannot preach the holy names of the Lord throughout the entire world. Nevertheless, a devotee who does so is criticized by neophyte devotees, Kanishta Adhikaris, who are on the lower stages of devotional service. For them, deity worship is strongly recommended. And this is a very beautiful verse because it talks about some very important aspect of Krishna consciousness, which is deity worship, and how that is connected with dealing among devotees. That is the theme of this purport presentation by Prabhupada. He has tried to beautifully connect these two things, Vaishnava culture with deity worship. What the statement which really took me a little by some sort of surprise is when he says here that Prabhupada, ki one must respect and advanced wisdom is to be respected more than Vishnu. And that was really something. Though we have heard this before, but I never thought about it. Because we see that, you know, in terms of giving respect, when we think of respect, when is a person really respected? Why does a person get respected? It's always because of only two things. One is his position, and second is his qualities. So in this world, of course, we find that people are respected because of position, whether it's a leader, political leader, so many people are respected. So also in spiritual circles, people are respected for that, for their positions, whatever they are, whatever ashram, a guru or sannyasi, a preacher, they are respected because of their positions, a temple commander, in charge, service in charge, whatever they are, people respect them because, oh, they are doing so much wonderful services. And on the other hand, they are also respected for their qualities. Now this is the difference between material and spiritual cultures. That in the material world, people are respected only for their position, by and large. You don't really care about their dealings and their behavior and all that. I am the employed in this company and I'm supposed to serve this person. He happens to be my boss. Now, whatever his dealings may be with everybody else, and I don't really care. I'm supposed to, you know. His position is that he is my boss and I'm his PA or I'm his secretary or I'm so and so. I just have to serve him. I just have to do whatever he asks me to do and just I do it. What is personal life is not my, my botheration. But in spiritual circles, there is an added point of behavior that we respect people because of the additional factor, and that becomes even more important. So this respect thing, how much is Vishnu respected actually? When you think of respect, of how much is actually, if you are supposed to know that advanced devotee is supposed to be respected even more than Vishnu, then I need to understand first, you know, how much is this Vishnu respected? What is his level of respect is offered to him? But to understand that, I have to go start lower. That even when Ramananda Rai goes for a bath, there are people around him in for a simple bath. You know, it's a very wonderful thing in what culture was. Just a simple bath, and it's a daily affair going to Godavari. But then there are a band of people, like, you know, respecting him with all hymns and mantras and chanting and all that things. And there's a fanfare just around, just for a person who's going for a 10-minute bath. So that is the type of thing, you know, respect so much was there. For even a person, apparently ordinary person, he was of course Nityasiddha, but apparently just a governor of Madras, you know, got so much respect. What about the kings at that time, how much respect they got? Small kings, we have, you know, princely states, Nizam of Hyderabad, King of Baroda, you know, we had all these people were there. How much respect they were given, so much. What about the respect for the entire for kings of the world, what they must have been, respect they must be getting. Huge respect, right? How many hundreds of thousands of people are respecting them? Just a king, a mortal king of the world. When it comes to Indra, the amount of respect he gets, the whole Veda is dedicated, I think Rig Veda, right? Rig Veda is dedicated to Indra. Rig Veda, the whole Veda, four Veds, one whole Veda is, I have not read, I don't know how many of us have read that, but we are told by Prabhupada that that is glorifying with hymns for glorifying the king of the demigods. It is a whole human society. Vedic culture means it was dedicated to the study of Vedas and following the Vedic literatures. So whole human society was supposed to read and understand Rig Veda and glorify this great person in so much respect. I mean, millions of people all over the world are supposed to respect King Indra. And we know that he's not the most, his activities are not necessarily the most respectable activities. He has got many problems, very many shady dealings with so many things. But yet, his, as I said, position is very important. We cannot undermine. The demigods, all of them knew what sort of things our king is doing, but we never find in the Bhagavatam that they ever said, Indra, what nonsense you are, you know. Why did you do this to Gautama's wife, you know? Why did you do this to, you know, why did you kill Vishwarupa? You know, he was apparently a guru. We never find the demigods ever chastising Indra, even though they are Agni, Chandra, Vayu, Surya, they are also no less personalities. They are in themselves managing universal affairs. Sun is manifest, giving light to the whole one Brahmanda. He is illuminated by one sun. So how powerful he is. But we never find him chastising Indra. I don't see in Bhagavatam that ever happening. That means respect for the position. So if Indra is respected so much, then how much more must be Vishnu being respected? Right? That is that even Brahma and Shiva, they bow down their heads to all demigods to Vishnu. So when you understand a little bit of that type of how much Vishnu is respected, then try to understand how much more when Prabhupada says you have to respect a pure devotee even more than that. So we are stumped because we cannot. How can we? We don't have any genuine understanding of this very lofty subject. So to understand when you read talks about deity worship. Now, what are the ways we can disrespect Vishnu? We have to respect. Okay, we come and offer pranams to the Lord, and I mean that's it. And offer some prayers and some flowers. That's it. Dance for the Lord. But how do we really disrespect the Lord? So actually when we read Archana Vidhi, as Prabhupada gives in the 7th canto, in this same canto, then there are so many items here which are listed here, which is an exhaustive list Prabhupada gives here, of ways in which Vishnu would be disrespected. To enter the deity room in the dark, to worship the deity without offering, without following regular principles, to enter the temple of the Lord without vibrating any sound, to collect food that is seen by a dog, to break silence while offering worship to the deity, to go to the toilet when worshipping the deity, offering forbidden flowers, to begin worship without brushing your teeth, so many things, to apply the tilak on the forehead in the curved way. You're going in front of the deity, so it is so much, you have to be conscious. This respect means, respect is not just, now when we read it from this point of view, the respect is to be understood in a very different way. Depending, okay, we respect, okay, Prabhu, Hari Bol, Hari Krishna. Respect, I respect you. It looks like a limited affair, a limited type of dealing, a short courtesy, a short type of handshake or a pranam, whatever. But this respect is a very big thing. Even if you're going to have a person whom you respect with a curved tilak, it is respecting him. If you're not conscious of him, you should go with the tilak which is properly there. You didn't brush your teeth and go in front of him? What is this nonsense? So you can disrespect the deity in so many ways. To advertise one's own glory while worshipping the deity. That means you should only glorify the deity. To enter the deity without washing one's feet. To offer deity food cooked by an uninitiated person. Disrespectful. How did you give me a food which is cooked by this person? He is not even connected to the parampara still. Huh? So there are about, I don't know how many, but I think about 60, 70 items here. Huh? Of ways in which we can disrespect Vishnu, which is all dealing with deity worship. Huh? So put all that 60 items and you add some more if you can, and that's the way you can disrespect a Vaishnav. So that means it's a very, very, respecting Vaishnav is a very big, big affair, it's a big responsibility, it's a very serious affair. So what to talk of things like when Prabhupada's servants went to enter his temple, into his room. We heard from What's a Difficulty book, Shruti Dharma Prabhu saying, Shruta Kirti Prabhu saying, that every time he entered Prabhupada's room, he would offer pranams. Now, what a servant offers to the, goes to a guru's room how many times in a day? I mean, hundreds of times for keeping the glass and taking the dish and then taking the glass back and taking the foot of plate and then taking it back and the cloth and then a toothpick and, maybe a handkerchief and, a napkin. He may just go, back and forth with hajar things, or a medicine and then take the medicine back, So many times he would go to the room. Each time, you would get a backache by doing that, right? But Raghunath Das Goswami did that. 2,000, I guess, right? 2,000? 2,000 pranams per day, isn't it? 1,000 to the deities every day and 2,000 pranams to Vaishnavas. That was the type of regulation of Raghunath Das Goswami. Of course, he's a Prajan Acharya, so he has to show something very, very, something which we can never imitate. we must have not offered pranams, even the dham, going to yatra, more than 15-20 times in a day, maximum. Even if there are 15 sannyasis, okay, 15 pranams, but after that, we'll say, okay, now others people in this. Yes, sir, enough. But no, we cannot minimize on this aspect. Disrespect is a very thing, it's a big thing. So, amanina mana dena, it is a verse which we can, try to go as deep as we want, we can go into that, fathom the depth of this verse. Amanina Mandana is a very, 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 very deep affair. This is respecting Vaishnavas. And here Prabhupada says we should respect them even more than. And then Prabhupada talks about especially which type of Vaishnavas to be respected more than Vishnu. He gives a particular type of category. So those who are actually carrying forward the mission of the Lord, of the spiritual master. That means in a Vaishnava circle, in a Vaishnava group, there will be people, there will be disciples, who will manifest Guru in their behavior. This is something which we want to discuss today in brief. That the Guru, your spiritual master, lives in various ways in this world. Or manifests in various ways in this world. One of the first is by his physical presence as long as he's here. Then he gives his powerful influence on the people around him by giving them his living example of what Vaishnavism stands for, what Krishna consciousness stands for, what is ideal Vaishnava. But under the power of that influence, he will create, he will generate many people who are also manifesting similar qualities. And that's very important when Prabhupada talks about Vani and Vapu, that to be able to recognize who are those people. This may be especially relevant when the Guru leaves this world. And even when, first when present also, but even more so afterwards, that which are those devotees who are so dedicated to Guru Seva that they are manifesting the qualities of the spiritual master. That means Guru is living through them still. We know, Thakur Bhakti was written, he reasons ill who thinks Vaishnavas die. That means Vaishnavas never die. People die. Non-Vaishnava people die. Birds, beasts, fish, they all die. Everyone dies. But Vaishnava, death, nothing to do with death. He reasons ill, his mati is disturbed if he thinks that a Vaishnava ever dies. Why thou art still living in sound. So when a disciple repeats the words of Guru, Guru is living through him. Correct? Prabhupada lives in so many ways today. Each time his disciple and grand disciples repeat Prabhupada's words, Prabhupada comes alive. Is it not? So Prabhupada has never died, will never die. For the matter, all great Vaishnavas, they never die. When anybody just refers to what they have said in a very, very submissive manner, that personality becomes alive. He manifests through that sound. Vaishnavas die to live. What does it mean? Earlier they said Vaishnavas don't die. Now he's saying Vaishnavas die. Vaishnavas die means the body dies. The body perishes, but they live. And living, what do? Spread the holy name around. So this is important to understand that Vaishnavas never die. If they don't die, then how do they live after their disappearance? They must be living in so many ways, in specific ways. So they live through their words, they live through their examples, they live through their disciples and followers. Not just disciples, also followers. There could be people who are, not disciples and still manifesting the spiritual master. Because there are many, many Siksha disciples as well. And especially this is important in our parampara because ours is a dedicated Siksha parampara. So there are so many Siksha disciples who are manifesting their previous gurus who are not connected by Diksha. So this is very relevant in our context because what all gurus want to see ultimately is what Prabhupada said in the end of his life, cooperation. And this is exactly the subject of today's discussion, that when there was no cooperation between Vaishnavas, they had to add one more modality of purificatory process, that is deity worship. That stemmed from disrespectful dealings. It is so powerful. The whole deity worship, we don't realize this, but this deity worship has come as an offshoot. The necessity was born. It would never have been born. If there was always disrespectful dealings between Vaishnavas, it would not be necessary at all. And there would be no dearth of purificatory, advantage. You would actually get purified and go back to Godhead. But because that does not take place, that right there in the beginning of and end of Satyuga, beginning of Tritayuga, they said, this is going to happen more and more and more. More disciplinary dealings will take place between Vaishnavas. Between Vaishnavas, forget about disciplinary dealing between ordinary karmis. That wasn't the reason why deity worship was introduced. People who are dedicated to Vishnu Seva, when they did not behave with themselves properly, then people way beyond, look at the vision of the people who were the saints at that time. Then it's like, this is going to happen. In Kali Yuga, we can see all the disciplinary dealing between non-devotees, though, it is something which we can't even get surprised by. All this, so much of massive divorce rates and fights and everything else in family life, community life, nationwide. between two nations is a huge thing. Everywhere there is disrespect. Nobody really disrespects anybody. If you go to see what's the major symptom of Kali Yuga in terms of psychological behavior or psychic behavior. Okay, we say age comes down, Shakti comes down, memory comes down, and Jataragni comes down. everything comes down. You can't digest food these days. You know? You eat a heavy meal, eat 4 batata vadas and just see what happens. You start floating in the air, you know, with gas. So, in Kali Yuga this happens, you know, everything goes down, even Agni goes down. But these are all physiological things which go down. Physical and physiological things which go down. Shakti, Buddhi, everything goes down. But in terms of psychic behavior, what really goes down in a conspicuous manner is complete dearth of respect for anybody. Means you don't just respect anybody in this world. Americans, you know, they lead this whole show. Said, don't respect anybody beyond 30. Means beyond 30 means, you know, he's 31 means finished. No, he's an old man, he's archaic, he's all worn out, and he's all, you know, his views don't hold any relevance. Where does this teenage rebellion stuff start from, you know? I don't think so. Our ancestors had this problem. Every boy and girl goes through teenage, right? Nobody became old before they became teens. But today, it's a normal thing to understand. My child is now 13 years old. He's bound to rebel. What is rebellion? Rebellion means complete absence of respect. That's as simple as that. I don't care what my parents say. I don't care what my uncle and aunt say, my grandfather and grandmother says. I just don't care. I just don't want to listen to them. This whole thing of disrespect starts so early in life. And with modernization, even, you know, that people are becoming disrespectful at an age of 10 years, and then, you know, at end of Kali Yuga, when they live for 20 years, they'll be disrespectful 2 years only. This will live for 20 years, right? At the end of Kali Yuga, I mean, at the 2 years, mommy said, no, mommy, I'm not going to listen to you. So it's becoming so much rampant. No one really respects each other today. No one. You don't respect authority. Who cares? Who cares? Who are you? Nobody. Whom sir is it? President ko kya malum? Kuch nahi malum. People, you know, the topmost authority in the country, and people sitting in the train, second class apartment, you know, who don't know a damn about politics, a damn about what political agenda is are, and you don't know anything about anything. Apne permission kya malum hai? No, aisa karna chahiye. You know, common man on the street giving suggestion to Prime Minister, aisa karna chahiye. Is it not? What does this show? It just shows complete disrespect. That he doesn't know what he's doing. He's a fool, number one. They rather put me in as a prime minister, and I will do things better for the country. So there is massive disrespect going on everywhere. And that's why in Kali Yuga, this verse of Mahaprabhu becomes so much relevant in the Vaishnava context, that even Vaishnava culture can be destroyed with all the philosophy and all the satsangas and all the deity worship and all the prasadam distribution programs and everything else. If there is the most powerful means to destroy any unified group of people, introduce the poison in them of disrespect. Just put that poison, inject it somehow, that people don't respect each other. How united they are. Once that poison comes in, finish. Groups of people, families, everything destroyed. It is the most powerful poison to disunite people. Disrespect. And on the other hand, also, when there is respect, there can be intense unity. Respect whom? Respect the leader. Even it is always possible, and it is always going to be happening, that there will be always disrespectful dealings between juniors among equals. The only way they can unite, because, you know, equals is like equals, you know, come on, you know, you don't know better than me, you know, I have my opinion, you have my opinion, everyone has opinion. But if people who are juniors are supposed to unite, they can unite only on the premise of love for the leader. If there's love and respect for the leader, then that love is so powerful of uniting force that I love this person, you also love this person, she also loves that person, all of us love this person for his love. For the sake of his love, that his heart doesn't get broken to see us disunited, I will respect you. I don't really want to respect you so much, actually, honestly, if you give me the choice. But I will still respect you. So this is the way a great soul sees. This is very amazing. I was mentioning this in one discussion about Radhanath Swami Maharaj. Now, he has not seen George Harrison. He has not met him. One day when he was talking about his departure a day, he was giving his memorial offering in the Sunday Feast program. He gave so many beautiful things about George Harrison, about a person whom he had never seen and never met. Imagine developing love for a person you have not seen and met. Just keep this in mind. Generally, when you talk about loving person, that means you know him. I met him. Yeah, he's a nice man. You know, he's a good boy. He's a good girl. He's a nice person. Because you met him, you know, he knows you, you know him, and you know, some amount of interaction has taken place, right? Not so in spiritual circles. Spirituality transcends time and space. That means in terms of space and time, you have not met that person, but you can still love and respect him. Because you're not seeing him from your own individual type of dealing with you. You're seeing about his dealing with the person you love. So if I love Srila Prabhupada, if George Harrison loves Srila Prabhupada, I love George Harrison. That's it. And I've never met him. And saying this, it is so beautiful to see that talking about George Harrison, he became choked up and began to cry. And that was a very powerful example. When I was in the audience, I was saying, wow, this is wonderful. How can you cry for a person whom you've not even seen and met in your life? Is it not wonderful? Because he was feeling gratitude for this person for the amount of service he did for Srila Prabhupada, the type of love and respect he had for Prabhupada. So the same amount of love he was feeling for him. So unity in spiritual circles can only take place. And there is, like Prabhupada said, if you love me, look at what Prabhupada said. I was thinking about it. Prabhupada, somebody is saying, if you love me, you'll cooperate with me. That's easy to understand, right? If you love me, you cooperate with me, because then I'm trying to do so many things. I'm trying to establish worldwide movement of Krishna devotees. So if you really love me, you guys, you love me, do you? Say, ah, Prabhupada, we love you. Okay, now you should cooperate with me now. That's easy. But if you love me, then you have to cooperate. You see the difference? It's a very big difference. To love and cooperate with the person because you love him, yes. No, your husband and wife, they love each other, so they cooperate. That's one thing. But to Prabhupada said something powerful, because you love me, you have to cooperate now. That is wonderful. That means respect for love for the vertical relationship and respect for the horizontal relationship. So you love your leader, it's a vertical relationship, he's senior, you're junior. You love him. That love should manifest automatically as respect for all the people who are under him. Because there is no question of love for the leader unless there is respect for the equals. We can see that so much. People who just loved Prabhupada, but did not develop proper dealings with their equals, they fell off. Because they did not really bring about a cohesive harmony in their lives with their equals, with the God brothers and God sisters. So they fizzled off. They become inactive, whatever. But those who manage to really embrace all the people with all the differences, you can imagine, you know, in a Gopinath Mandir or whatever, you know, here we have more or less people coming from India. And Maharaj, you know, he was very happy that day in Mayapur, remember? When we were all dancing in the Mayapur gardens, he said, here is a Bengali dancing with a Maharashtrian, and here is a GSB dancing with a Karnataki. He was just giving different all people who are dancing with each other. He made that remark. But imagine Prabhupada's task was so difficult. He had to deal with people who are Africans, with Europeans, you know. Now really, there's such a dramatic and obvious difference between them. They hate, you know, this apartheid and all these things, you know, colonization. They just so much, they hate people, the blacks. They were supposed to stay with them and, you know, somehow do things with them. And the Prabhupada said, "This, we are the real United Nations." So they could only unite because of the love of Prabhupada. He made a house where the whole world can live. Because they all are Prabhupada, they can all live in the same house together. So also we can all unite with, because everyone loves Krishna. Even though there are differences in the spiritual world, they are still united. There is not factions in the spiritual world. Because they are all united in the love for Krishna. So, the important thing is that, I think Govind Prabhu was saying the other day, somebody was mentioning in the discussion, that in Vaishnava dealings, there are three types: dealing with seniors, dealing with equals, dealing with juniors. And I think he gave the formula: 20% of the time spent with seniors, 20% of the time spent with juniors, and 60% of the time you spend your time with equals. Why? Because that's the most difficult. In dealing with seniors, it is pretty easy, is it not? You know, if somebody is senior, Prabhuji, what can I do for you? Hare Krishna. So get me a glass of water. Yes, sir, I'll work. So the senior just gives expresses a desire and gives you some instruction, and the junior just automatically, because he's just so awed by the seniority and the gravity and the glory of this person, he just immediately automatically follows. There's no question of disunited relation with him because he's senior. With juniors, it is even more easier, is it not? But there is somebody who says, "Prabhu, what can I do for you?" I say, "Okay, good, you're a nice servant. Go and get this for me." Okay, so that's been more easier. Because they're giving why is easier? Because it is very congenial to our false ego. Very congenial. So just, it doesn't disturb. Dealing with people is always congenial when it is congenial to the false ego. As simple as that. And it becomes uncongenial when there is, it is not congenial to our false ego. So with seniors, it is but still he's senior, so you know. You can it's all right. But the real problem can come when there is equals. With equals. And as you said in the beginning of the presentation today, that many disciples will manifest the guru's quality. They will be the living representatives of your guru. So if we do not develop dealings with them properly, we will miss our guru. When the guru goes away, we have lost him, because we are not able to see him still living in the people who are living with us as contemporary souls. So it is so important. So important to understand that yes, those who are truly dedicated to guru, they can manifest guru. In the Vyas Puja celebrations this year, one of the finest Vyas Puja offerings which was given by far, I think most of you will agree, was by one Mataji. Her name is Parijat Mataji. The type of love she manifested in her offerings to her spiritual master was beautiful, par excellence. It is not the people who are in the front line are necessarily the people who are manifesting guru. Not so. That's because some leadership position is given to them, so they are all in the front line. You are all in charge of various services, so they are bound to be in the front line. They are doing things, they are getting things done, they are managing big affairs, so they are bound to be in the front line. But that does not mean they can be, but does not mean they have to be the people who are really manifesting Gurudev. It could be a person who is sitting right there behind, silent, devotee. But he can manifest Guru from his heart when he speaks. A simple lady, a simple mother, a simple housewife, an unprofessional person, when the person speaks, this person has lives have been touched by Guru's mercy in a very powerful way. She has developed love for Guru. Let me serve her. So, respect. Now respect, when does respect turn into love? As we have said, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, dog eater, what is that? Vidyavinaya Sampanne, Brahmaniga Vyasini. Respect. This is the sloka which tells about respect. That he respects equally a dog eater, a hathi, you know, everybody respects. But when does the respect turn into love? What is the transformational substance which changes into, makes into love? The thing which makes respect. Respect is like a precursor. Like you have precursor, you have drugs, like we have. A drug is like, we have precursor drugs. It is not an active drug. It just gives the drug in the body. And the body metabolizes it in a particular way, and then it becomes active. So it's an inactive drug. So, you know, by itself it has got no physiological action. But the body knows how to convert it. Once it's converted, it's called a pro-drug. And then becomes active drug. So similarly, respect is like a pro-drug. It's a precursor form of the active thing, which is love. There cannot be love without respect. Can there be love without respect? Can you say, I love that person, but I don't really respect him? Can you say that? No, cannot say that. They're not two mutually exclusive things. They're mutually inclusive things. There cannot be love without respect. But the question we are understanding that, okay, we're supposed to respect everybody. Prabhupada talks about respectful dealings. But respect is just one thing. Why don't we develop love? So the question is, how does respect get transformed into love? By the modality of selfless service. Selfless service. So you serve your boss out of respect for him. But there is no, you never develop love for that boss. Why? Because it is based on selfish gain. I serve him till he gives me my paycheck. Now this is a point actually, which is a very important point, which was thought about by Nawab Hussain Shah. Nawab Hussain Shah was given information that there is a person in your kingdom who is attracting millions of people to dance with him. So there is a gentleman called as Ramchandra Khan, who was a Vaishnava, but he was given the name Khan, you know, just like Americans sometimes take, you know, Pal becomes Paul, you know, Mr. Inderjeet Pal becomes Inderjeet Paul, you know, like that. So he became Khan. And there are many people like that. So people are saying, no. They were knowing that this fellow is such a cruel person. If he knows that this Mahaprabhu Chaitanya is, you know, dancing with so many people around him, he is so cruel, he'll go and, you know, do something, some nonsense. He was famous for his killing, famous for his cruelty, famous for his harsh behavior. Nobody wanted to have the Lord come into difficulty because of his person. So they were underplaying Mahaprabhu. He said, no, he's a beggar and he's just moving around as sannyasi. And there's a couple of people just around with him. Don't take him seriously. Just forget it. But Nabhusan was very sharp. He was a politician. He said, I am paying all of you. That's why you are staying around with me. The moment I stop paying you, you will leave me. This is the reasoning. Look at his logic. But here is a person who nobody is paying. He's not paying anybody. But the millions of people who are following him, he must be God. If he can attract millions and he's not giving them anything and they're still following him, that means they're selflessly attached to him. That love, it can only be for God. So Nawab Hussain Shah's logic, he wasn't a fool. So in this world, people can respect, but when there is no selflessness in the service, they cannot transform into love. In any two relationship, I will only remain respectful. I respect you, but you know, actually, I respect from a distance, you know. You don't we say that sometimes? I respect him, but you know, from a distance. That means the relation will never get transformed into genuine love. But when you serve that person with selflessness, there is a powerful possibility of transforming it into love. So in that way, when we serve our God brothers and God sisters in the horizontal relationship, we can not only love for the spiritual master, also love for the equals. Because there is, when we say I love my spiritual master, it is incomplete if there is no love for his disciples and his followers. It is very incomplete. It's very, very incomplete. Because it is not sentimental love. It is spiritual love. If it is sentimental love, I can say, I love my Guru Maharaj. In a sentimental way, it is true. But if it is genuine, deep love for Guru, that means there is the willingness to sacrifice, and tolerate the nuances, the idiosyncrasies, and the types of behaviors of each other. No problem. I will still serve you. With all your differences which I have with you, like Radhanath Maharaj was saying that day, that Chandramali Maharaj and myself, you know, we have so many differences. Some of the material. But for 33 years, we are friends together. He was proud of that relationship. With all the differences. And then, you know, he was saying so many examples like that. So, differences are not a good reason for disrespect. Differences will be there. And husband-wife relationship, all the more. So many differences. But differences do not give us a license for disrespect. Because they are both united on the higher principle of service to Guru and Krishna. Therefore, even difference between husband and wife can be harmonized. Between God brothers and God sisters can be harmonized. But they are united on the higher principle. Right? So, these are some important lessons which Prabhupada is talking about in today's verse about respect. I thought I'd just bring forward some of these thoughts which I had on this subject, how this is so relevant in our Vaishnava circles, especially at our beautiful temple, where, and of course, the last comment I'll make on the book distribution. Prabhupada talks about the book distribution. We should talk about one line on that. What is the connection between, this is a question I want to just pose to all of you. What is the connection between book distribution and respect among Vaishnavas? Because Prabhupada is talking about, he talks about respect and then goes on to book distribution. So what is the thought process? What is the logic? Is in any way book distribution connected with respect among devotees? No, doesn't look like. Gaurangpur, what do you think? Is there any relevance? They're two independent activities. Anything different? Any different answer? Book distributor is here. Shadbhuj Prabhu is, you know, powerful book distributor. Yeah, Guru's desire to distribute books, everyone unites. That's what, exactly. So, they are very, very closely connected activities. And I tell you how. When books go out, suppose theoretically speaking, there are 3 billion people in this world. And we all trying to distribute books, right? Suppose everybody had one book of Prabhupada. Would this temple be flooded? Maybe, maybe not. Because unless that book distributed by the, when the people read those books of Prabhupada, which are powerful, one line can transform your life, you know that. Our lives are transformed by Prabhupada's books, all of us here. And read those books, they will want to see who are the guys who are following this. Right? And when they come here to all our ISKCON centers and they see what? Disrespectful dealings, and they all go back. So they are very connected activities. Book distribution and Vaishnava culture of respect are very connected activities. So when they get attracted to Prabhupada's movement and when they come here, they see, oh, look at this, such a huge family of 5,000 people going on a yatra. And they all are like respecting each other so much. That will attract people more than just the philosophy. It is philosophy in action. So book distribution is philosophy and respectful dealings is action. It is living those books. So they are very closely, deeply connected activities. With all the book distribution in the world, if an ISKCON movement does not manifest a society which of mutually united, respectful devotees, then this movement will collapse. Even with billions of books going out from our godowns, it cannot sustain. So that's how important it is for all of us to show this great example for the world, that these books are the books which are making us unite, and we are united in love for Krishna and Guru. And when people see that, then those people are so accustomed to seeing disrespect outside, so accustomed to seeing that. So wherever it is there, it is attractive. Hey, people really respect each other so much, because it is conspicuous by its absence outside. It's just not there. But wherever it is there, it's very wonderful to see. It will always stand out. And even the gods respect them. Nityananda Prabhu is bathing, taking his bath, going on the crocodile. He will not listen to anybody in this world. He's avadhuta. Mahaprabhu says, Nityai, come back. Respect. So even the supreme independent Lord, Nityananda Prabhu, who doesn't have to go by anybody's rules, is avadhuta, social outcast. When the Lord says, come back, respect. Yes, sir, coming. He just returns back from the crocodile. So even the lords respect each other like that. What to talk of, stupid jivatmas like us? The Lord says something, he says, yes, sir, it will be done. So, thank you very much for your patient hearing, Hare Krishna.